Dear congregation, our focus this afternoon will be on the section we read out of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, the story of the 10 lepers who are cleansed. And as we think of that, we can also relate with our own lives, how we can be healthy one day and suddenly be sick or come down with a sore back or an ailment that really puts us out of our work, where we can't do anything, and we realize how dependent we are on our health. And so we can be thankful for good health and strength. But if we are sick or when we recover, then we so often just continue on in our life like nothing happened. We continue on as it was before. But how often does that circumstance or that illness or that recovery drive us to look beyond that sickness to the one who gives us our health? How often does it drive us to look to the giver rather than the gifts? See, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he never healed for no reason. He didn't heal just for the sake of healing, but he always had a purpose, a purpose in mind, and a spiritual lesson to teach us. And that's what he did with these lepers as well. All his healing miracles were to show us who he was, to reveal himself and to reveal what he has come to do on this earth. And it wasn't his miracles of healing that he wanted broadcasted, but he wanted the message of the gospel to be spread around the world. And so here in this passage this afternoon, Jesus reveals himself as that one who has come to cleanse lepers, to cleanse sinners from their sin through faith in the blood of Christ. And this is a cleansing that can only come from God through the gospel that he has given. And this cleansing will end in the glory of God. That is the purpose for which we were created. That's the purpose why he restores people, is to worship him. And so we wish to look at this passage under the theme of the 10 lepers cleansed. In the first place, we see that Jesus provides a precious opportunity. He provides a precious opportunity to call on him. But in the second place, Jesus also gives an ordinary directive. He gives an ordinary directive to obey him. And in the third place, Jesus interprets a revealing response. The responses that we see are interpreted, what they reveal about our hearts. What is the response that God expects us to give? And so in the first place, Jesus provides a precious opportunity. In verse 11, we read that he went through to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing through the midst of Samaria on his final journey to Jerusalem. He would never return to these parts of the land again. And now, as he was about to enter a certain village, 10 lepers meet him. We read that they're standing afar off. They didn't dare come to Jesus, and they cry out from a distance and call on him. Because of their leprosy, they had to obey those social distancing laws that were in place. You see, leprosy is an awful disease. It's very contagious, and when a person had leprosy, they were required to live outside of the villages, outside of the cities. They had to wear funeral clothes or do what they did for mourning, and they had to wear torn clothing. They had to keep their hair unkempt, and they had to cover their face from their upper lip down. They had to wear a face mask. That was the way that people customarily mourned for the dead in those days. You see, leprosy was then so associated with death that these people had to wear clothes of mourning. And so in a sense, they were considered as good as dead. These lepers were as good as dead in regards to the community. And when they saw other people, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one would come close to them. And they had to live there outside those villages in quarantine. That was mainly for the reason that they wouldn't spread the disease to others, but there was also a ceremonial reason for it. Because if other people came close to them or touched them, even if they never got sick, they would be considered ceremonially unclean. And they wouldn't be able to go to the temple or to be able to worship anymore. And so you can see this is such an awful condition for them to be in. And even if they recovered from this disease, they would have to call for the priest to come to them. The priest would have to inspect them over a week time, over 7 days. And if indeed the disease was stopped, then they had to perform that ceremony, that ritual where blood was sprinkled on them and they could be pronounced clean before they could be reunited with their family and into the community. But Scripture really uses leprosy as a picture of sin. It's a clear picture of the defilement and the awful disease of sin. Sin is our spiritual disease, our spiritual leprosy. And that quarantine shows us how sinners are separated from God. They're quarantined away from God. Isaiah 59 says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." See, these lepers had to quarantine themselves until they could be healed and until they could be considered clean. But we are quarantined from God because of our sins. And we remain there until we can be pronounced clean. Because God is holy, he can have no dealings with sinners. And so here, each of these 10 lepers, they realize this awful condition that they're in. And they feel the effects of this isolation and this disease. And they see their need for help, for a miraculous help. And so now as Jesus is coming here, he's entering into this village, they see their chance. And immediately, it's in verse 13, they lift up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You can imagine for these lepers, here was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity when the Lord Jesus came to their village. And even though they would have felt like that publican standing in the back of the temple who didn't dare lift up his eyes because he knew he did not deserve God's mercy, yet they were driven to cry out from a distance to Jesus for help. And so here these 10 lepers are united in their miserable condition and united in their cry for help in the one who can save, the only one who they know who can help them. And Master, they say. Master, they submit to him as that only one who can help them. They're willing to do what he tells them to do. They know that he's healed others. They know that he's able to save. And so they have this faith, this belief. They believe that the Lord Jesus will also help them. And so leprosy, as that picture of our spiritual leprosy, shows us there's no greater disease, no greater misery on this earth than our sin. We are cast out, living in quarantine apart from God. You've all tasted a little of what quarantine is like. It's not nice. But our sins have separated us from God, and we cannot return to God, not on our own strength. But here Jesus, he came walking to this village because he needed to cleanse these lepers. And Luke 7 speaks about how he came to cleanse lepers, but also to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel that says that Jesus Christ has come to cleanse sinners from all their sin. And so here these lepers had just a few moments in their life as Jesus passed by them. But you and I, we have the Lord Jesus passing by us each day in his word. Here the lepers heard what Jesus had done for others and they knew that he was able to heal them. But you and I, we hear that the Lord Jesus saves sinners daily. Do we need this as well? These lepers, they used the means that they had and they called out with their voice as loud as they could, "Have mercy on us." We have the means, we have the voice, we have the prayer that God has given us that ascends up into heaven where the Lord Jesus now sits interceding for sinners. Do we use this opportunity? Do we use these means? Will Jesus ever pass by this village again? For the lepers, this would be the last time they would see him. And how about for you and me? Will this be the last opportunity where the Lord Jesus passes us by? Will we use it? These lepers stood afar off, it says. They saw their unclean condition. They felt their separation and their need. Do you recognize that your sins have separated you from a holy God? Do you stand off, afar off, and cry for help, knowing that you cannot come to him yourself? Do you need his help? Do you need his saving strength? Is that your call as well, like these lepers? Lord, have mercy on me. Is he your only hope today? See, these lepers did not just sit quietly at a distance and watch Jesus pass by. They didn't say, look, there goes Jesus. I wonder if he will heal us today. They didn't say, well, if it's his will, he'll come and heal us. They didn't say, well, we're so unworthy, we're so sick, there's no use calling on him. No, they cried for mercy. Their cry was born out of that desperate need of their heart. But if there's no sense of our need, if there's no sense of our condition, then there will also not be such a cry to God. Examine our hearts today. Do we need the Lord Jesus? Why are we so lukewarm? Why are our prayers often so cold? Is it not because there's such little perception of our vile condition before God by nature? Isn't it because there's so little sight of the fatal disease of sin that we have? That there's so little sense of the danger that we are in, so little need for a cure? See, this leprosy of sin is a total and an eternal separation from God. These lepers had to wear mourning clothing, sign of mourning. The funeral has already begun. They're as good as dead. And every sinner who is not reconciled with God today is as good as dead. The funeral has already begun. You need cleansing in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's passing by now again. And so these lepers, they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And what does Jesus reply? How does he respond? That's what we see in our second thought. Jesus gives an ordinary directive. The call has gone out. Now what will Jesus do? So often we can read in the Gospels that the people, they brought all the sick to the Lord Jesus. And what did he do? He healed them all. Jesus always had compassion on the multitudes. When we see sick people, and especially, I've never seen a leper in person, but I can imagine if you see a leper, everyone would feel compassion for someone with that disease. And here, Jesus, he sees 10 of these lepers crying out to help for him. And verse 14 says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. But Jesus didn't touch them. He didn't say, you're healed. He didn't say, everything's well now. But he doesn't immediately heal them, but he gives them this simple, this ordinary directive for them to follow and obey. You see, here he gives them a test of faith to see if they will obey his word. Show yourself to the priest. So here stand these 10 lepers. Their skin is rotting. They're an ugly mess. The law has condemned them. They're not permitted to associate with the people, not allowed to return to the villages. They had to stay outside. They're unclean. Go show yourself to the priests. You see, the Jews' ceremonial laws said that if the disease of leprosy had stopped, then then the priest had to come and he had to inspect the skin. And if after 7 days it was obvious that the disease was stopped, then the person could come for that spiritual, for that cleansing ritual. That priest would take blood from an animal and he would sprinkle it on these people, and then he could pronounce them clean. But these 10 lepers, they were standing there still leprous. Jesus had not healed them yet. And he says, show yourself to the priest. Now what would you do? They were supposed to go to the priest if their disease had stopped, but they were still sick. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And here they were supposed to start walking. They were supposed to start walking to the priest as if they were already clean, as if they had already been healed. They had to walk as if they were cleansed already. You see, Jesus did not send them on the way and say, go cleanse yourselves and then show yourself to the priest. No. He said, go show that you are already clean. But they were not clean yet. And so what happened? All these 10 lepers, they obeyed immediately, it says, and there was no sign of hesitation, there was no questioning, there was no asking for a proof or a sign, as the Pharisees often did. Show us that this is true. And they also didn't stand there waiting to see if their hands would start healing, if their skin would start healing. But they went. And so as they took these first steps, they were still leprous. They began walking while they were still lepers. While that skin was still rotting, while that stench was still in the air, while their fingers and their toes likely hurt because of the disease, they began to walk to the priest. See, in Jesus, who had come to fulfill the law, he gives him this ordinary directive to follow the ceremonial laws which were in place for the Jews. He sent him to go to the priest. To the priest and to the ceremonies that all pointed to Christ. He sent him to that blood which pointed to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they need sprinkling before they could be pronounced clean. And so Jesus is pointing these 10 lepers to himself. He's pointing them to himself, even as he is now on the way to Jerusalem to shed his own blood for sinners. And these lepers needed that blood sprinkled on them before they could be pronounced clean. And we need to go to Christ to be washed in his blood before we can be pronounced clean in the sight of God. For there the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And so Jesus points us to himself. And he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so verse 14 continues and it says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. That as they begin walking, they are cleansed. As they walk in that way of faith and obedience in the word of the Lord Jesus, their leprosy is healed. And this is an important lesson that we're being taught here. The story of the 10 lepers points to that spiritual cleansing, that cleansing that is offered by God in the gospel through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, show yourself to the priest. You and I are all infected by the spiritual leprosy of sin. We have been exiled from God. We have no way to return to God and to get out of this quarantine ourselves. This quarantine for these lepers involved wearing the ripped clothes and unkempt hair and a face mask. And they were considered as good as dead, cut off from the community of God. And even as we've tasted a little of that, was what that was like. In a sense, your life begins to die when you're cut off from the community of people. And especially when you're cut off from from the community of God, from the fellowship of God and with his people, you begin to die, as it were. But what we need to realize is that we by nature are all born into this state of quarantine and the separation of God. We are born in trespasses and sins and separation from God. And all those who still live and continue in their sin, all those who have never been reconciled to God, continue in this separation by your own sinful acts. Your own sins separate you from God. We do not follow God. We do not have fellowship with God or his people. And if this does not change in our life, it will turn into an eternal quarantine in hell, an eternal separation from God in hell. And yes, these 10 lepers had formed their own little community outside of the villages. And it's interesting that in our Western culture especially, we tend to make our own little communities. Whether our families go to church or not, if we ourselves are unbelievers, we seem to make our own little community with people where we can make things look so good materially. And yet, when we take a closer look inside, we see in our hearts nothing but leprous sin. We refuse to wear funeral clothing even though we are as good as dead. And we try to walk in this world with our little community of unbelievers in dead in trespasses and in sins. But now here God comes to us in his word and he gives us an ordinary directive and he says, go, show yourself to the priest. Go, show yourself to the priest, the great priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save them to the uttermost, who come to God by him. He says, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood there to cleanse sinners from their sins and who can cleanse from all our unrighteousness. See, John says in 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here is a priest who will never turn away, a leper who comes to him to be inspected. Go show yourself to the priest, says Jesus. Just like these lepers were commanded to go, that while they were still leprous, while they still had the leprosy on their hands and on their skin, he commands us to go to the Lord Jesus while we are still filthy and corrupt and dead in sin. These lepers were to go to the priest as if they were already clean. And we are to go to the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel and believing and trusting with that confidence and faith in his word, that his word is so true. And his promise is so certain that the blood of Christ will cleanse from all sin, that all those who go to Christ will be pronounced clean in the sight of God. Do you believe that? And Jesus is teaching here the importance of the obedience of faith. That even as with the servants in verse 10, it was their duty to obey. They had no right to question their master to see if their master would do what he said. It's not our right to question God if he will perform the word which he commands us to do when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these 10 lepers, they obeyed immediately. They knew what the Lord Jesus could do and they believed that he would do it for them. And so why is it that we so often look at his word? And we see and we hear what he has done and will do. And yet we say, well, will he also do it for me? Why do we not simply rest in his promises and in his word and obey the commands if we believe that he is the God of heaven and of earth? Doesn't this show the extent of this sin of leprosy? That we are dead in sins and trespasses. And that we by nature are unwilling and unable to believe, even though God commands us to believe. See, the sin of leprosy is so great. And yet, God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ is even greater. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. God commands sinners who are dead in trespasses and sins to go to the Lord Jesus because he said, though you are dead, yet shall he live. He that believeth, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And all these 10 lepers had this faith to be healed. And the disciples asked Jesus in verse 5, increase our faith. But Jesus said, true faith is enough. Faith is enough. And faith is not looking at ourselves to see if the leprosy is gone. But faith is looking to Christ in the gospel, in his promises, and in his word, and resting there. If we look at ourselves, we will see the leprosy. If we look at ourselves, we see the sin that doesn't seem to be leaving. If these lepers had stayed here until they saw their leprosy healed, they would never have gone to the priest. If we stay standing looking at ourselves to see if the leprosy of sin is leaving, we will never go to Christ. You'll never be healed because we never obey his word. There's another example in the Old Testament. Children, you remember the story of Naaman, the Syrian who became leprous, and his little servant girl who was Jewish said, you need to go to the God of Israel. So Naaman comes and he eventually meets up with Elisha, and Elisha didn't even come out of the house, but he sends his servant and says, go and tell Naaman to wash 7 times in the river Jordan. But Naaman, he got angry at first and he didn't know why. He wanted Elisha to come out and perform a miracle and do something special. He didn't want to be healed in that ordinary way. But eventually his servants convinced him, and he went to the river. He dipped himself in 7 times, and he came out healed. And so here it is also. Jesus has given us this simple directive to obey the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one who cleanses sinners from their sin. Jesus Christ has come to cleanse, and we must go to him while he is still here, and we must go to him while we are still sinners. We cannot wait until we get better before we go to him, because then we will never go. We cannot look for signs or evidences that he has begun to heal us before we will believe on him, because then we will never believe on him. We must not expect some great miracle by which we are to be saved, but we must walk in the ordinary directives that he has given us by way of faith and obedience in his word. And we also cannot wait to see, or until we see, that we're leprous enough. If we think, well, I don't see it enough, we cannot wait. But you must go now to see. Now is the time that he passes by. Now is the time that he still gives his word. And we must cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And relief is found in the way of obedience as it was with these lepers. And his gospel comes in all simplicity, doesn't it? There's nothing that we can add and nothing that we can take away, but it requires nothing but simple obedience and humility. There's only one place to go with our sin-stained hands and our corrupt heart, and that is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin. And it is there, as you go, as you draw near to God in faith, as you lay before him all your sins and open your heart and your hands and your mind before him in prayer and say, here are all my sins. It is as you go to him that you find this cleansing that you could not do yourself. It's there that your sins are broken, that you could not break yourselves. As you walk to him in prayer, That's where you find that your guilty conscience, which you can never silence, becomes washed and cleansed. It is there that you find that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ gives you peace with God that passes all understanding. It's as you go to Him, hands full of sin, guilty stains of sin, and that you appeal to Him on His own word and His own promises, that there you find that as you go, He cleanses you in the sight of God, that there you are justified. There you can be pronounced clean in the sight of God as the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes over your soul. He gives this ordinary directive for you to obey. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And these 10 lepers obeyed, and these 10 lepers were healed. And now what did they do as they realized what had happened to them? That's what we see in our third place. Jesus interprets a revealing response. All 10 lepers went and obeyed the Lord Jesus. All 10 lepers were healed as they went. But that's not where the story ends. Verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." Here we see the response of one man, one of the 10. When he saw that he was healed, when he was on the way to the priest, maybe it's because he was a Samaritan, didn't realize the significance of going to the priest. Maybe, whatever it may have been, he recognized that he had been healed. He stopped, and he turned back, and he began to worship God. It says he turned back. That implies before he reached the priest with the others, before he was declared ceremonially clean and could again enter the community of people and the worship of God, he comes and gives God the glory. It says he fell down on his face in a posture of humility, in a posture of worship, began to give thanks unto God. So thanksgiving is not only required of us in the Word of God, but thanksgiving, true thanksgiving, is a mark of saving faith. It's a mark of the grace of God. We know that the Catechism shows us that misery, deliverance, and gratitude are three elements that are needed for the comfort of saving, for that saving comfort in our hearts. Psalm 100 says, "Enter ye into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name." So the response that this Samaritan gives shows what is really in his heart. His priority was with God. God was the first in his life. Before he gained his freedom, before he could go back to his family and share the news, before he could go back to whatever work he had, he came to exalt God and to give God the glory. And so true gratitude exalts God. This leper showed by his gratitude that he loved the giver better than the gifts. He loved God better than the benefits he could receive. The true gratitude is characterized by humility. He shows his humility when he worshiped the Lord Jesus and when he glorified God. He remembered that only a few moments ago he was leprous, he was an outcast, he was unclean, and now he was clean. And he gives the glory to God. And gratitude really reveals what's in our heart, doesn't it? What is it that we end in? What is the end of the love of our heart? Where is it focused? Is it on God or is it on what we can get? And so often the blessings and the trials in this life are little tests, little trials to see what's in our heart. Where do we end? Is it in the gift or is it in the giver? And so to make this more evident, Jesus contrasts this thankfulness of the Samaritan with the absence of the nine. In verse 17, he says, "So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? See, these nine were Jews because the Lord Jesus had sent them to be ceremonially cleansed, to obey the Jewish laws. And here it's striking because the Jews and the Samaritans, they really hated each other. And one of the main reasons for that hatred is because of their worship. The Samaritans said, we have to worship God in Mount Gerizim. The Jews said, no, we have to worship God in Jerusalem. But Jesus said in John 4 that the time was coming when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And here this was starting to take place already. The Samaritan came back to worship God in spirit and in truth, while these nine lepers went and worshipped ceremonially. They went to do their rituals. They went to do their traditions. These nine Jews who had the true picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the sacrifices and all the symbolism of their religion, they walked away from Christ, not recognizing that he was the Christ. Isn't that what John said? He said, he was in the world and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Doesn't it show how much we need the grace of God, not only to show us the leprosy of our sin, but also to show us Christ, to show us who the cleanser of sin is? Paul writes, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. 10 were cleansed, but only this one stranger, this one foreigner, turns back to give the glory to God. Only this Samaritan found Christ. He saw Christ here manifest in the flesh. He saw God made flesh. And where are the nine? They never returned to give glory to God. And Jesus points out the lack of gratitude in these nine. There's no thanksgiving in them at this point. There's no giving glory to God at this point. And from other scriptures, we are taught that there's a miraculous faith which believes on the Lord Jesus for what he can do, for his healing miracles, for what he can give us. But when the cares of this world come in, they forget God. And they neglect the giver, and there's no saving faith. See, the ungrateful nine are more concerned about temporal losses and gains on this world rather than showing thankfulness to God. The ungrateful heart uses religion to see what it can get from God rather than using it as the means to go to God. The nine went to the priest to be declared clean so they can continue on their way in life. They value the gift but forget the giver. When Jesus walked on this earth too, he had multitudes of people following him. Crowds followed him. Whenever he performed miracles, it spread like wildfire. But when Jesus began to talk about true faith in John 6, most of the people left him. This is a hard saying, they said. And so true gratitude also to God is that evidence of saving faith in the heart. But miraculous faith believes only for what it can gain. And Brockle says too that humbleness of heart and love to God are absent. What about us today? How many times have we been healed from sicknesses, from pains or ailments? Have we recovered from whatever COVID brought into this little region? Has it taught us to worship God as the giver of every gift? Has it taught us to worship him in spirit and in truth? Or have we simply gone our way resting in the benefits and forgetting God himself? Has it been profitable for us that we found a giver of the gifts? Has it returned us to God with that awareness that he controls everything that he controls the sicknesses, whether it be leprosy or whether it be COVID? Have we, by the grace of God, realized that he is the one who can heal our spiritual leprosy? But even if that is the case, how often do we also have to confess that we are more like the nine than the one? How often do we fail to give God the glory and the thanks that are due unto his name, even when he has given us so much, materially and spiritually? What has God done for us in our life? Has he shown us the Savior? Has he shown us the Lord Jesus Christ? And yet so quickly we turn away to this world again. But now in verse 19, he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well," or made you whole. See, this Samaritan was not only cured of his leprosy here, but he was cured of his sin, of his spiritual leprosy. He was made well. This stranger, this foreigner, he received a consolation and an assurance that these other nine did not. He can now go his way with even a greater thanksgiving and a greater praise in his heart, being cleansed from all unrighteousness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He found Christ. And so you may wonder, well, what do I need to know? What are the evidences then if I also walk like the Samaritan or like the nine? We heard a difference of gratitude and ingratitude, but there's also faith itself, the very existence of faith in the promises of God as the only way of your salvation. Resting in faith in the promises of God itself is an evidence, because by nature we do not want to rest there. By nature, we kick against God's way of salvation. By nature, we want to go our own way. We want things to happen in our way, but simply trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply resting in his promises, if we can rest there, if we can cling there, that is itself an evidence of faith. Faith is resting entirely on these promises, in that infallible word of God. It begins walking like these lepers did, patiently waiting, believing that God who has given his word will also perform his word, that his promises are so certain and that he will perform what he has given, that before any evidences are seen, we walk in the way of his commandments, in the way of his promises, and you cling to those as the only rock of your refuge, as the only thing that holds you up in this life. But faith also has that humility. See, pride wants it to do it our own way. Pride wants proof. Pride wants it to be seen. Pride wants miracles and wonders. The Pharisees often ask, "Show us a sign." But humility waits wholeheartedly and submits to God's way of salvation. But especially humility and faith will also return in thanksgiving to God, knowing that that's where it came from, knowing that we do not deserve it, knowing that we are unworthy, and that humility will recognize that we are unworthy and we received it by grace and nothing of ourselves. But also faith receives Christ, not just the benefits of Christ, but faith looks to Christ himself. He is the one who is precious, not just the benefits that he can get for us. Faith worships Christ himself. Faith needs that fellowship and that communion with God through Christ. The Samaritan needed to come into worship Christ. He fell at his feet in that posture of worship. In spirit and in truth, he needed him. Not just his healing and not just his life back. This was more important to him than his healing. And this is also the consolation for the sick today, that when you have Christ, you have more than you could ever need. When you have Christ, you have more than a healing could ever bring to you. When you have Christ, you have the washing of his blood, which declares you clean in the sight of God. And there is a hope and a comfort and a consolation there that is greater than any healing in this life. And so what about you and I today? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Jesus here, he healed these 10 lepers, all 10, to show that he has come to heal the spiritual disease of leprosy, to cleanse sinners from their sins. And that just as he healed all 10 when they called upon him, he will heal all sinners that come unto him in his word and by faith. All those who come unto him, he will hear. He does not cast out any. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1. And what is more, Jesus gives us this opportunity today. He gives us this opportunity as he enters this town once more so that lepers can call upon him. And he walks among you today. When the sick came to him, he healed them all. He had compassion upon the multitudes. And he is now that high priest who ever lives and who is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. If he has come to die for sinners, will he not certainly hear sinners now that he lives in heaven? Will he not hear your cry? Will he not hear your call for mercy? But even if you do not dare come, as you feel your unworthiness and your sin, yet you can stand afar off and call upon him, Lord, have mercy on me. And he hears from a distance. All these 10 lepers believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal them, and he did. Jesus will cure all those who come to him with their spiritual leprosy, according to his own promise. He has given us this ordinary directive in his word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But his cleansing does not come by sitting and waiting for it to happen. But he calls us to go in his word, walking in these promises of the gospel. And the evidence will also be seen that as you go, you will be cleansed. And when you see that, you will also return to God. If you do not return to God and you continue on your way, thanking him for healing your physical diseases, and you continue on in the world, you're like these 9 who never returned to him, but only had a temporary or a miraculous faith. But a true faith will return to God. Go show yourselves to the priest, he said. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Go. Show yourselves to Christ. And as you go, when you are healed, return and give glory to God. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 2.